Mr. Tabor, when you're ready, again, it's State versus Olbrich, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Albright.
Albright, okay. Please.
Thank you, Your Honors. My name is Len Tabor from Gearing. I'm the court-appointed attorney for the defendant herein. Basically, today I'm going to talk about insufficiency of the evidence. I think that's the most important issue brought up in the appeal. First of all, there's no question that this young girl suffered serious bodily injuries. That's a given. There's no question about that. However, there are so many other suspects that the police and the state never really examined close enough. I think so many other suspects can't get beyond the reasonable doubt. Sandra Miller, the mother, who got immunity and got a sweet plea deal on her criminal case, a lot of her comments, you know, didn't make sense or were contradicted. For example, she said on September 27th, the day before Aubrey was taken to the hospital, I never saw any of the bruises that the state showed on Exhibit 27 and other exhibits, which is simply impossible to believe. Another showing that she didn't really care about Aubrey is when they found a distal fracture on Aubrey's wrist. She said, you need to bring her back in for more x-rays, and she didn't bother to do that. So that tells me that she didn't really care about her. They had the babysitter, they had the grandmother, they had neighborhood kids. The police never talked to the neighborhood kids or tried to make an extensive effort to find them or talk to them. There's a lot of people in and out of the Olbright home right before this happened. Police never really did much about that. I think they kind of fell short of their investigation because Cody was handy. Easy and handy to get. Grandmother, her testimony was pretty damaging. But a lot of her testimony also was either contradicted by other witnesses or it did not make any sense whatsoever. For example, she said, well, you know, I took care of Aubrey, you know, for a long time, and she never got hurt in my care. She never got any bruises in my care, which is just, you know, ridiculous. She admitted that that she had a criminal record, including false reporting, you know, DUI, a couple of bad checks, crime involving dishonesty, I think, you know, seriously undermines her credibility. She was a drug user, she denied that, but her daughter said on two occasions she and her friend saw drug paraphernalia in the home. She told Tara Oles, you know, I didn't want my daughter to lose her kids, I wanted her to lose the man. This tells me, for some reason, she just could not stand or hated Cody. I think she was going to do anything she could to get the child her care because she felt she could raise the child better than the parents. I don't think she was a credible witness.
Can we talk about Dr. Salisbury for a moment?
Yes.
I understand that Dr. Salisbury was the doctor who testified as to the injuries that this child sustained, or one of them, and that Dr. Salisbury indicated that the injuries were acute, and when asked what that meant, indicated that it occurred somewhere from 5 minutes to 2 weeks before she came to the hospital.
Yes.
So when you say that the other person testified that the day before they didn't see the bruises, that would be potentially consistent with that statement and would also potentially be, as you say, impossible, depending on when the bruises actually took place.
Right.
I take it, was there evidence presented as to who had possession of this child during that two-week period?
Well, the parents did, but there are other people in and out of the house, and they, you know, she also playing with the neighborhood kids and her other siblings, half-siblings. You know, and the parents said, you know, Aubrey is always rambunctious. She always bruised easily. They thought she was anemic. Her bruises took a long time to heal. They were worried about her. That's why they asked for some blood disorder tests, which Dr. Salisbury did do, but he admitted there were other more tests that he could have, or someone could have ordered, but never did. And he also said there's possible different causes of trauma. A lot of different things could have caused that. For example, the linear bruising, there's a number of objects that cause a linear bruising. It tells me it wouldn't necessarily be a hanger, which is what the state was saying, that, you know, Mr. Albright beat her with a hanger, which caused a linear bruise. But the doctor said, you know, a lot of objects could have caused that. Bricks, cement, whatever. And also, he finally said that his findings could certainly be either shown to be accidental or non-accidental. So, it's reasonable doubt.
Now, there was another doctor who also testified. Is that correct?
Dr. Srotnik, and he said the brain injury Aubrey had probably happened 1 to 2 days before going to the hospital. But again, it's simply impossible to know. These types of things, there's really no way to pin that down.
And again, was there testimony showing who had possession of the girl during that specific period?
Well, again, both parents. You know. Now, I'll grant you that Mr. Albright had, want to call it possession of the child, a lot of time, but so did Sandra Miller. And again, she was out playing with the neighborhood kids, you know, the babysitter, the grandmother, who used to spank and discipline her daughter, which her daughter testified concerning. Yeah, there's a number of defense witnesses, six of them. I can't believe all of them were lying or exaggerating. Every single one said that Aubrey seemed to be a happy girl near around her, that she was appropriately dressed, well-fed, clean. They never saw any inappropriate discipline by Cody towards Aubrey, never saw any kind of abuse, and that she did not seem to be afraid of Cody. It seemed to me a child who was being abused by somebody to the degree the state is saying would be terrified of that person. The last two witnesses, Mr. Albright Dillon and Lydia Reyes, they lived with them for a year. If anyone would have seen the abuse, and it would have been them. But they both said no, they never saw anything, any kind of abuse or inappropriate discipline directed at Aubrey by my client. A number of exhibits were offered, photographs that showed me a typical happy family.
Didn't I think it was the babysitter testify that Aubrey made some statements to her about being afraid of Mr. Albright?
One statement, yes. Yeah, she said Daddy hurt
her. And said that he hurt her.
Right. Which was objected to, but the court allowed it. Mr. Albright did testify, and I think his explanations were reasonable and logical. I don't think his activities, his demeanor and his cooperation show, at least to me, a guilty man. I mean, he cooperated with everybody. He went voluntarily to the police station, gave a voluntary statement. So I'll take a polygraph. One time he took out the emergency room. She had a bump in her head. You know, if he was causing the abuse, then why would he take her to the emergency room? It just doesn't make sense to me. You know, there's no direct evidence in this case. I understand that it's not always possible, but there is none in this case, and I think the state simply picked the lowest hanging fruit and ran with it. They didn't do an extensive enough investigation of the neighborhood kids, the babysitter, houses, the vehicles belonging to the grandmother, the babysitter. You know, they just said, okay, Cody's handy, we're going to take him, and we're going to hang him. I think that's what they did. We're asking you to reverse it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tabor.
Thank you.
Mr. Love.
George Love on behalf of the Appalachian State of Nebraska. I wanted to point out, and I did it in brief, that the sentence in this matter, the verbal pronouncement does not match the journal entry in this particular case. So I think that, as I stated in brief, that the verbal pronouncement governs, but the case has to be remanded to correct the journal entry so that the records reflect the truth in the matter. Now, as far as the sufficiency of the evidence goes, this is somewhat unusual, really, that you have a bench trial here and the court actually makes findings of fact and conclusions of law. You don't see that very often. And I think the record certainly supports the court's dissertation here, or writings.
Does the evidence support the court's finding that Aubrey was in Albright's sole care during the time frame identified by the doctors as to when these injuries could have occurred?
If you accept the, and I can't remember her last name, the mother's testimony that she was at work and these injuries occurred when Cody was in charge of the child, then the answer is yes.
The ones that led to the brain injury or the liver injury?
For an absolute certainty, the answer to that is no. What you have in this particular, and that's in every child abuse case, unless you have someone sitting there taking pictures.
Well, but there's cases that say this is the doctors can pinpoint this is when the injury would have occurred, and the evidence shows that during that discrete time frame, the defendant was the only one in possession of the child. We don't have that here, do we?
Other than the mother's testimony as to the events and the injuries, when and how they occurred, for example, the burning of the face.
I'm talking about the injuries at issue here, the brain injury and the liver injury.
That's true. We do not have a time frame when those occurred.
And is that a problem here?
No.
Why?
And the reason is the injuries or the behavior of the child is what finally led to the exposing of what was occurring to her. The child's own testimony, Daddy hurts me, Daddy hurts me. You can infer from that he's the one battering her from the injuries. I don't think that that's a real problem. And I don't think that bleeding in the eye, subdural hematoma, bleeding in the brain, and so on, and a lacerated liver, among the other injuries, as the doctors both testified to, if not taken care of, would be create a substantial risk of death. So those injuries, I think it's reasonable to infer that those injuries were fairly recent. This child is becoming more and more lethargic. According to the babysitter, she was, quote, lifeless on the evening that she had her, vomiting and so forth, took pictures of all of her bruises, talked to the grandmother, so on. When finally they went to the hospital because it was coming out, then the investigation began as to when, how, who, and why. But I don't think any doctor anywhere can tell you that a bruise occurred on a specific time, at a specific date, and so forth. There's only patterns of healing. There's only patterns that you can point to and say with at least some certainty as to when the injury might have occurred. Is that here? Only inferentially from the mother, the babysitter, and the child's behavior, as well as the two doctors' testimonies, if not occurred when she was in the sole physical care of this Cody Olbrich, both Dr. Salisbury and Cernak raised doubts if any of those injuries have been caused by accidents. So the charge being intentional infliction of child abuse causing serious bodily injury, I think the court's findings in its verdict and statement and so forth are supported by the evidence. And this court does not reweigh in terms of the credibility of witnesses, reweigh that. But given viewed most favorably to the state, the evidence does support the trial court's findings in this matter. I think unless the court wants me to get into the evidentiary issues that were raised in count two, I guess I really don't have a whole lot more to offer other than the evidentiary objections. If the court has any questions about those, other than that, I guess I would consider it on brief.
Thank you, Mr. Love.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And how much time does Mr. Tabor have?
Well, again, I mean, Your Honor pointed out that it's simply impossible for doctors to say, yes, this happened a day ago. It happened 48 hours ago. This happened to you. It's simply not. It's not there. I mean, the medical expertise is not to the level yet. Maybe someday it will be for a doctor to be able to say, yes, I know when this injury happened exactly before midnight last night, between 10 and midnight, for example. But know, in this case, you just don't have that. And again, there's so many other people in that area or with the child, including a bunch of people that the police didn't bother to even track down. Like neighborhood kids had been injured by them. Did get injured on a swing. She fell down, and testimony that she fell on a cement ledge in their backyard. And, you know, the doctor said, well, a number of things could have caused this, and it could be accidental or it could be non-accidental, and there's just really no way to tell. I think that does raise a reasonable doubt. I think the court was remiss, assuming a lot of things that, you know, like the Attorney General deputy testified concerning, you know, you have to assume a lot of things to find a guilty verdict, and I just don't think it's there.
Thank you, Mr. Tabor. Thank you, Mr. Love. The matter is submitted, and you're both excused. We are in recess.